You're listening to audio from the St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
How's everybody? Yes! This is where the party's at. Are you ready? I mean, it's Palm Sunday. Okay, well, if you're a guest, I'm really glad that you're here. Welcome. I want to encourage you. I've left you some good videos and some material in the teaching notes part of the app. Check those out for later this week. And let's dive right in. Hebrews chapter 10. Hear the reading from the word of the Lord. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins? But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me, and burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law," then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second, and by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Well, we live in a world of making sacrifices, yes? You make them every day. In fact, life, we might argue, is ultimately about choosing which sacrifices to make and figuring out how to manage them. Because we live in a world that's competing for your time, for your money, and for the very life force within you. And those choices confront you on a daily, weekly, yearly kind of business. Loop in that you have to choose what kind of sacrifices you are going to make for a meaningful and wonderful kind of life, a good life. And you do. It's part of your daily agenda. It's part of your daily business. How much time do I sacrifice my family for work? Or if I sacrifice work, understanding I might not climb as far up the corporate ladder, but maybe I have more time with my family. It's the choice of sacrificing whether or not to buy more stuff with what I have or invest it in the future, or maybe I give it away generously to other people. It's the choice of whether or not I choose to eat healthy things, thinking that maybe my life will be prolonged by doing such a thing, or I'm going to live it up now and eat the things that I want to eat, and then we'll hope for a little bit of Lipitor later on, yes? Yeah, and then there's these sacrifices you make. They all have consequences, realize. You lived it up, and now you live with the memories. You sacrificed a friendship, and now the other end of the line is silent. Or you decided to sacrifice your healthy boundaries, and in the process, now you have to live with an addiction that grips you. You make sacrifices every day. You live in that kind of world, and the Hebrew people were very much similar. They lived in a world of constant sacrifice. It was part of the daily life. In fact, I told you a few weeks ago that the job of the priest in the ancient world was to help you navigate the system of sacrifice and the system of the gods. Make the right sacrifices, get the gods of the land on your side, and who knows, you might have a more plentiful yield this year from your crop. Your family might be blessed with more people, which gives you more protection and more buying power. That was the job of the priests, and it happened over and over again, day after day, week after week, year after year. Now, last week, Pastor Nora did a good job of sharing with us about this idea of a new covenant. And Jesus made a new covenant with us. And behind that word covenant is the implication of sacrifice. The very word covenant is derived from the root word to cut. And if you're going to make a covenant, you literally have to cut the life force of a living thing, typically an animal. And you cut that animal in half. And you exchange the life force of one thing for the life force of another thing. The life force of an animal for the life force of a person. The book of Leviticus records all kinds of different sacrifices which are made. Bulls and rams and lambs and goats and pigeons and even right down to flour. And you say, flour? Exactly. And that's where we've got a little bit of learning to do, folks, because I think our tendency when we talk about New Covenant and Old Covenant, we think the Old Covenant is only about law and the New Covenant is only about grace, as if God had some kind of change in his personality over time, and that's not the way that it works at all. God's always been a God of grace. In fact, implied in the sacrificial system itself is grace, because if you're a rich person, well, you can afford the ram, and if you're a poor person, well, then you can afford the flour. And the point is, the grace of God allows everyone to participate. It's not just a system for one group of people or people of a socioeconomic status. It's a system for everybody, and everybody has the opportunity to participate. Everybody can exchange the life force of one thing for the life force being upheld of another thing, animal for person. And this is the world that you know if you're a Hebrew person. You live in it every day, every week, every month, every year, whether it's in the days of Moses or the days of Jesus. Like I said, the priest helps you navigate the world of sacrifice. Well, help me understand it, Brian. I am so glad that you asked, which is why I'm going to ask Max and Luke and Jesse Pinkston on a whim, and Casey McKenzie on a whim to help us this morning. Come on up. They have no idea what they've just gotten into.
That's what I get for sitting in the front.
Exactly. Come on up. Now, the very first part of the sacrificial system that you need to know is every day when you wake up in the morning, there is a daily burnt offering. In fact, Numbers chapter 28 says that you will sacrifice a one-year-old lamb at dawn and then at dusk, and this happens with flour and wine and all these kinds of things. So when you hear daily offering, Max, light the fire for us. You know, it's 11 o'clock, I'm feeling a little wilder. Let's really light the fire. This is part of the sacrificial system. There's a daily burnt offering that goes up. You can put them out for a second. Good work. We want to make sure the lighter fluid lasts. Now, the second part of the sacrificial system is that there are offerings that are given, and these are chronicled in the book of Leviticus, chapters 1 through 7. There's five, in fact, the burnt offering, the grain offering, the fellowship offering, the sin offering, and the guilt offering. And it's all kinds of different offerings for all sorts of different reasons. Worship, or trusting God, or thanksgiving, or if you've sinned and it's unintentional, you make a sacrifice. If you sin and it's intentional, you not only make a sacrifice, but you pay restitution. Here's a point I want you to hear. If you're sacrificing anything, something's dying. So when we hear about the daily offerings, we also realize that there are five offerings. That's all you got? Come on, brother. Okay. We got to work on his priestly accoutrement. Yeah, there's five offerings that go with it. So you're going to make sacrifices throughout the whole of your life. For worship, for trust, for thanksgiving, for sin, they happen throughout your life. That's the second part. The third part is that there's a Hebrew calendar. And in the Hebrew calendar, there are sacrifices made on a monthly basis. There are sacrifices made on the Sabbath. There are sacrifices which are made at times of great festivals like Passover and Feast of Booths and Feast of Weeks. And And these sacrifices, some of the rabbis in that day said that you have never seen partying like existed at one of these festivals. And when the festivals happened, the shofar was blown for the people. That's all right. Blow the shofar. Whoa, wowzers, that's quite the shofar. Nice work, I knew you could handle it. So here again, there's daily sacrifices, there are offerings, and there's the Hebrew calendar, which runs all throughout the year, and that brings us to the fourth element of the sacrificial system, the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is the one time per year that the one man in all of Israel... There you go. Let's get you straightened out here. The choir always helps me with that.
It's a little too large.
I know. You're better looking.
You grow into it.
There we go. Looking good.
Wow.
One time, one man in all of Israel is going to go into the one holy place to make atonement, to make sacrifice for all of the people. And the first thing that he would do is he would take a bath. And you can go all throughout the city of Jerusalem. There are mikvah or baths all around the city of Jerusalem. They look just like this. And the idea is you walk down one side of the stairs and you walk out the other side of the stairs, and now you're ritually clean. And I know some of you microbiology people are saying, I ain't buying that, but just work with me. And then you would put on the garments of the high priest, looking good. And then the next thing you would do is go and choose one bull, one ram, and two goats, and start the process of sacrifice. You would bring the blood inside the temple and touch it to the atonement cover. You would pour incense before the Holy of Holies. You would make restitution. You would bring about forgiveness for people and the priests and all of Israel. And once you had made the sacrifice, if you were the high priest, you would take off your clothes. Please don't. And then you would go back outside, and the one goat that you hadn't sacrificed, you would take a red cord and pray over that goat, wrapping the red cord around its horns, and confess the sins of Israel over that goat, and the goat would be led away into the wilderness. So the sins of the people would be removed as far as the east is from the west. And later on, the priest would come out and say, the Lord your God, the Lord Yahweh, forgives you of all of your sin. So when you hear the word Day of Atonement, you need to yell forgiveness.
Forgiveness!
He gets the idea. So I want you to picture this again, right? We're all Hebrew people here this morning. I'm hanging out with you. And there's this system of sacrifice happening daily. And there's all kinds of offerings. Better. And it happens throughout the calendar. And once a year,
forgiveness!
On the Day of Atonement, the priest would proclaim to the people forgiveness. This happens in your midst all of the time. And remember, the priest is the lifeline between the people and the God of the land. He's there to help you navigate the world through this system that happens every day, every week, every month, every year. It's always going around. You're always taking part of it, whether it's daily, through the offerings, through the calendar, or the Day of Atonement. There we go. Notice what the scripture says. And every priest stands daily, offering repeatedly the which can never take away sins. The thing you're part of, it doesn't work. In fact, Hebrews 9:9 says that the conscience, the sacrifices didn't clear the conscience of the worshipers. What we might say is the sacrifices didn't do anything to change the hearts of the people. And that's where we enter into Holy Week, just like today. We have a high priest who bathed and became clean in a different way. In fact, the scriptures note that someone anointed him with burial with a perfume. Anointed him for burial with perfume. We have the scriptures which tell us that Jesus takes off his outer robe and begins not to wash himself, but the feet of his disciples. And we know that it would be just a short time later that Jesus would be presented as the scapegoat before the people. Not with a red cord tied around his forehead, rather a crown of thorns and a scarlet robe, a purple robe, hanging from his body. As Pilate said, "Behold the man," and the people said, "May his blood be upon us." He was led outside the city gates so the sins would be removed from the people as far as the east is from the west. And he was nailed to a tree to die upon it as a new sacrifice. And so we go back to the Hebrew world, a system of daily sacrifices and plenty of offerings and a calendar and a day of atonement happening over and over and over again. And notice what it says of the sacrifice of Jesus. When Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down. These priests would be busy their whole lives, offering daily, making offerings throughout the calendar year. And the Day of Atonement. They never sat down because it never changed the hearts of the people. And here's the thing, I think you make sacrifices daily with your own offerings throughout the calendar year, and you long for a Day of Atonement. I have a question for you. Are your legs tired? Let's give our guys a hand. Thanks, guys. That's yours. Okay. Looks pretty good on you. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
I seriously wonder, that's yours. All your, find a goat. There's one out in the barnyard today. I wonder, seriously, are your legs tired? Because you make sacrifices every day for your children, for your job, for your grandchildren. You make financial sacrifices. You make sacrifices with your time. Some of you keep making the same sacrifices over and over because you think, if I can just do this enough times, maybe I'll experience the forgiveness that I so desperately want. If I can just do this the right way, if I can just say the right thing, if it could just happen the right way, if I just gave enough, well, maybe then she or he will love me the way that I want to be loved. If I can just make these sacrifices, if I could just have more time, or if I could just have more money, if I could just do these things, and you trade the life force in your life for the gods of this world. And so today, for all of you who are exhausted from burning the candle at both ends and trying to manage how there's enough in the bank and how you can cram one more thing into your calendar, for all of you looking for a Day of Atonement, what if there were a sacrifice that you could make that would change your life? Well, let me tell you this, he's already made it. one time. And when he did, he sat down. And so we enter into Holy Week, which is one of the most peculiar times of the year for me. Because Easter Sunday, mark my words, this next Sunday, this sanctuary will be packed. I love it. It's my favorite day of the year. But I always wonder what happens Thursday and Friday on the way to get there. You can't get to the empty tomb without going through the cross. And if you're busy, or you've got stuff to do, or sacrifices to make, I'd encourage you this Holy Week to make one sacrifice in your life. The sacrifice of your agenda. Jesus Christ wants to do something powerful in your life this week. Will you give him the time and the space to be at work? That's the question I would ask. And will you stop making the sacrifices that don't change day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and instead trust your life to one when he walked to Calvary and died upon a tree, he sat down and said, "It is finished." Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. As we start off this Holy Week today, realizing we live in a world of sacrifice, just like the Hebrew people did, it just looks different. Sacrifices of time and money and power and strength and the life force within us for all the things that we think that we need to have a wonderful and meaningful kind of life, and yet we miss the one sacrifice that was already made. A sacrifice that you made, and after you made it, you sat down. In fact, earlier in Hebrews, we read that not only did you sit down, you sat down at the right hand of majesty where you intercede for us, the Son of God. Thank you. Thank you that you exchanged your life for ours. Thank you that in this Holy Week, you long to be with each one of us. And our prayer is simply this: come and have your way. Be Lord, be Savior, be healer, be deliverer, be Almighty God in the way that you know each one of us needs it most. This is our prayer, and we make it in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Amen.